Hey everyone, and welcome to the All It Takes is a Goal podcast, the best place in the entire world, including all of Canada, to learn how to build new thoughts, new actions, and new results. I'm your host, John Acuff, and today we're talking about perfectionism. This is actually our last episode about perfectionism. We've been talking about perfectionism for seven other episodes. This is what they call in the biz. Now that I'm in the biz, I own a microphone and whatnot. When I first started my first podcast, I did not have a microphone. And so many of my friends would kindly text me or email me and be like, "Hey, dude, good job on the podcast. Have you ever thought about like buying a microphone?" Because it sounded terrible. But now I own a microphone, so I say things like the biz and I do seasons. We did a season on perfectionism because it's one of those issues that wrecks so many different goals. Today is the conclusion. If you haven't heard a single one of the episodes, no problem. This is a standalone episode. You don't have to go back first and listen to other episodes. If you want to, by all means, I think you'll find them equally as delightful as this one, but you don't have to go back. This one is about the brilliant zone. Do you ever wish that more of your decisions were brilliant? Me too. You are going to love this episode. But first, let's hear a quick word from the sponsor of today's episode. Quick question. What if you could guarantee the success of your goals? No, seriously. The book you want to write? Guaranteed. The business you want to start? Guaranteed. The exercise plan you want to stick with? Guaranteed. What if no goal was off limits? It's possible with the Guaranteed Goals Community. The Guaranteed Goals Community is my first ever membership program where you'll find the courage, connection, and most importantly, the community you need to win all your goals. Ever since I started hosting online challenges with tens of thousands of people from around the world, the number one request people sent me was for a private, non-Facebook community where we can all work on our goals together. That's why I created the Guaranteed Goals Community on a user-friendly platform where you won't be overwhelmed with endless dance videos, silly reels, and dog memes. Inside this community, in addition to learning my fail-proof formula for achieving goals, you'll get access to a massive course library, check-ins with my team for accountability, the chance to win awesome prizes, 12 VIP Q&A sessions with me, the ability to team up with other members who are working on similar goals as you, and so much more. A year from now, I want you to be thankful for the way you invested in yourself and your goals today. Join me at acuff.me/goals. That's acuff.me/goals. I'll see you there. All right, let's jump right into the episode. So a few weeks ago, we talked about how every action in your life, you take actions all day, does two things. It gives you value and it takes energy. So it gives you some return. You get some return out of it. And it also takes some amount of energy. You don't have endless energy. You have a fairly limited supply. You have a fairly limited supply of hours every day. Life is made of limits. And everything you do in life gives you value and it takes energy. And we used a simple illustration to talk through this. So imagine, if you will, a horizontal line. And on one end of the line, it said low value. And on the far end of the line, it said high value. So if you're imagining right now a road, a line, a horizontal line that on the left side said low value and the right side said high value, you're already in a great spot. Everything you do in life is somewhere on that line. It's high value or low value. You say, you know what, that was really worth it. I should do that again. Or you know what, that was a waste of time. That was a waste of my effort. Why did I do that? Why did I say yes to that? Have you ever had a moment where you say yes to the wrong thing and you show up and you're furious and you think they don't know that you're furious that you say yes, but we know you're very mad. That's a low value moment. There's other stuff where you go, that was worth it. That event was so worth it. That conversation was worth it. That interaction was worth it. Reading that book was worth it. That's a high value moment. Now though, we have to talk about that second thing, that the energy line. Imagine a vertical line that bisects, cuts in half that horizontal line. And that one at the very, very top is high energy, and that goes all the way down to low energy. So on the vertical line, high energy is at the top, low energy is at the bottom. So a high energy action is something that takes a lot of your energy. It's difficult. It's challenging. You have to be all there. You have to be dialed in order to accomplish it. A low energy is very easy. It's very simple for you to do. So the example I used was speaking. When I'm at a speaking event, being on stage is high energy. Hanging out with people after is high energy. driving back to the airport after is low energy. I never tell my wife, like, yeah, whew. The hardest part was when I had to repack my luggage to leave the event. That was a high energy interaction. Like, whoo, that really got me. No. I'm very clear which parts of that interaction are high energy and low energy. So today we're going to talk about our last zone, because remember, when you have two lines and one's horizontal and one's vertical, it creates four little boxes, four little quadrants, four little zones, if you will. And we've talked about the other zones, but today we're going to talk about the best zone, the number one zone, the zone we're all aiming for, bum, 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 build up, the brilliant zone. This is where you're getting great value at very little energy cost. So imagine, if you think about this plus sign in your head, I'm asking you to use your imagination a lot, but I know that you're at the gym right now and you're just tired of that stupid treadmill. And so you're like, yeah, give me a task that requires my imagination. Perfect. Or you're washing dishes, you're putting away laundry, whatever. If you think about this little illustration like a clock, the brilliant zone is over there on the right side. And it's the zone that goes from 3 o'clock to 6 o'clock. If you think about an analog clock, 3 o'clock to 6 o'clock, that's the brilliant zone. It's great value because it's all the way on the right side of the value line, but it's low energy because it's at the bottom of the energy scale. So think about that. Like, I would say for brilliant zone, if you're trying to get in shape, laying out, is it lying out? I get that wrong all the time. There's a couple grammar things I do that my wife is very embarrassed by. Like, she's like, that sounds, you makes you sound unintelligent, or dumber, or the dumbest. It doesn't sound good when I talk like that. But I can't help myself. I really didn't focus on grammar in 7th and 8th grade. But this is when you put out your clothes. If you have bad grammar, you find workarounds. This is where you put out your clothes for the gym the night before. It falls here. It's necessary. It's even high value because it's going to increase your odds of actually going. Like, you roll out of bed and you've got your Lululemon shorts and your shirt and your Stanley Cup. One thing I want to tweet, by the way, about Stanley Cups that I can't yet because I'm going to get so many people to say something dumb back. I want to tweet that Yeti walked so that Stanley could run. Isn't that that's a sharp tweet. But you know what's going to happen. People are going to be like, Stanley has been around forever. And then I'm going to have to be like, But anyway, if you lay your clothes out before and all your stuff, you're more likely to go to the gym. That's high value. But picking out socks doesn't cost the same amount of energy that running does. No one listening to this right now go, oh, the hardest part of working out is the night before where I have to find shorts and it's exhausting. If you're trying to declutter, dropping books off at a free library near your house falls right here. It does. It's brilliant because it's high value. You get rid of the books or rid of whatever, you know, a donation to Goodwill, whoever you donate to, that's high value, but it's not a ton of energy. Like, bringing them to the little library, you're never exhausted by that. You're never like, that was the hardest part of my day, was I had to go to that little library. It was super challenging. Now, sorting through the stuff, that's high energy, high value. That's important work. Remember the zone above? That 12 o'clock to 3 o'clock zone, it takes a lot of energy to sort through things. It's a hard emotional thing for a lot of people. If your goal is to write a book, reading falls here. It's valuable. It is. It is high value for you to fill your head with great books when you're trying to write a great book. But reading doesn't take the same energy that writing does. It doesn't. Like, you could read 5 books for inspiration and get high value, but you won't feel as tired as writing for 5 hours or 10 hours. If you're trying to start a business, responding to customers can fall here. So you've got a customer, they've got a question, they're already a customer, so you don't have that pressure of trying to close the sale. So there's less energy. It's still high value. It's important that you do it, or it's critical that you do it, but it's not a high energy action. Selling, high energy, high value. So why is it called the brilliant zone? It's called the brilliant zone because when you find a way to do more actions that are high value and low energy, you are in fact brilliant. You are. And this is the zone that perfectionism is afraid of the most, because perfectionism always wants you to think that it takes high energy to accomplish anything. Perfectionism wants you to believe anything worthwhile is going to be so difficult, so high energy. Oh, it's going to be so difficult. The idea that you get high value from something that's low energy is the reverse of perfectionism. Perfectionism tends to tell you, unless something is difficult, it doesn't count. Unless it is difficult, it doesn't count. You see that sometimes with the way people talk about their dreams and their goals. People say things like, if your dream doesn't scare you, it's not big enough. That sounds like kind of tough and like, go big or go home. But fear is such an odd thing to use as a barometer or validator of your dream. You see that with health goals. I'll meet people all the time. They'll go, John, I want to get in shape. I'll go, that's great. What are you going to do? And they go, I'm going to run. I go, oh, do you like running? They go, no, I hate it. Oh, I hate it. That's how I know it's good for me. And I know they're not going to do it very long because they're operating on this broken soundtrack that for something to count, it has to be difficult. It has to be miserable. It has to be really high energy. But the brilliant zone is just the opposite. These are actions related to your goal that are high value and low energy. I'll give you one example from my own life. What if you could pay attention the first few times you did something? Like, what if you could pay the upfront costs of effort at the beginning of a skill? Like, you pay it upfront and then it serves you forever. So take me and packing my suitcase. When I first became a public speaker, I constantly forgot to pack important items of clothing. I've purchased belts and ties at more TJ Maxx's or TJ Maxx. I don't know what the plural is. The Max Attacks. I don't know how you say that. But I've purchased a lot of ties and a lot of belts around the country. I have. And I acted like every time I traveled was the very first time I traveled. You know how they say, like, don't reinvent the wheel? I reinvented the wheel every single time. My packing was firmly, like, wasn't furly. I don't even bring fur when I travel. Like, what if that was my thing? There was a country music star that lives near our house, and he's super tall. He's like 6'6". He's a very, that kind of, if you're a country music fan, you can probably figure out who he is, but he's very tall. And this is such a random off-topic story, except it relates to fur, and fur is how I mispronounce the word firmly. So that's sort of a tangent. I walked into this Chinese restaurant the other day, and he was standing right inside the door in a full-length black fur coat, and he looked kind of like Dracula. And I walked in the door, and he was next to the door, like with his back against the wall, I guess, so people wouldn't see him. And I turned around. It was like one of those small places you never eat in. It was like purely for takeout. And I turned around. He was right there. I was like, ugh! And it was scary because he's famous, but he also looked like Dracula in the moment because it was a full-length black fur coat, and he's so tall. It was like a very long fur coat. But I meant to use the word firmly. And that sentence where we started from was, my packing was firmly in the important zone. It was high value. Like, having pants to wear on stage when I showed up to speak at Microsoft, very valuable to me. It was very valuable. There's no question about that. But it was also high energy. It took a lot of brain power because I was constantly trying to remember what I needed, where I put it last time when I got home, and like, did I remember it? I was stressed out. I was worrying that I was going to forget something critical every time I packed. Now, if I had been honest with myself, I could probably have sat down with a piece of paper and figured out 90% of the things I need every time I travel. That might take me an hour of focused attention, like an hour, but I didn't want to pay for that hour. So instead, it took me 45 minutes to pack every single time. I took 300 flights in this 2-year period. I added it up, which meant I spent 13,500 minutes packing, or 225 hours. That's a lot of wasted time. But if I was present the first time I did it and I asked a simple question, I could have saved myself so much time. Here's the question I should have asked myself. Here's the question you should ask yourself. How do I make this brilliant? How do I make this action, this activity, this task, how do I make it brilliant? I would have been able to eliminate as much wasted motion as possible. That's what I eventually did. I sat down for 60 minutes and I created a document in my phone called Packing List. It's all it is. I wrote Packing List on a document. I made a huge checklist. I printed out 30 copies of it because I'm old and I prefer a piece of paper. And then every time I traveled, I took out a copy of the list and ran each item off with a pen as I placed it in my suitcase. And then I got even better because I'm always going, how do I make this even more brilliant? Then I finally realized I'll just put it as a note in my phone with checkboxes. I'll check it all off as I pack, and then I don't have to go print it out again. I don't find a printout. I don't have to worry, like, do I have enough copies? It's all in my phone, one list. And then if something on the road changes, I can edit it. I can make it even a little better. Now it takes me about 15 minutes to pack instead of 45 minutes. Over the course of my next 300 trips, I'll save 150 hours of time. I traded 1 hour focused effort for 150 hours of saved time. That's the very definition of brilliant. And using the list is so low energy. I could follow that thing in my sleep, which is exactly what we want. So a woman named Heidi Grant Halverson, she's a PhD, brilliant. She wrote in a book called Succeed. She wrote this book called Succeed. We work best when as much of what we are doing can be delegated to the unconscious mind as possible. I love that. When as much as what we're doing can be delegated. We often think of delegating to other people, but what if you could delegate to that unconscious part of yourself? You can with things like a list. So here are a few other brilliant things I've learned over the years. One of the best ways to edit is with a dot on the side of your page. What do I mean by that? So say you want to write a book. The way you edit, and I learned this from somebody that I worked with at Staples. So I used to write advertising for Staples up in Framingham, Massachusetts at their corporate headquarters. And a guy named Mark told me, he said, hey, if you got this big, long document, you might add a comma, you might add an m-dash, like something small. You don't have to go search for that. So on the line in the margin, like where you made the edit, put a dot. And then when you're editing, you can just scroll through the dots and then go, oh, there's a dot on this left-hand side. I need to look in the middle of a paragraph. Oh, there it is, a circle of word, versus trying to find it through all these words. So instead of looking for the edit through 250 words on a page, I look for the three dots on a piece of paper and I find the edit immediately and I'm so much faster. Another brilliant zone technique is running with friends. I run further and faster when I run with friends, and I run more often when I run with friends. So that's helped me a ton, where I'll look up and go, oh, we did 6 miles. Like we were talking about something we were working on. I didn't even notice. Like friends make running faster and easier. Number three, brilliant zone thing. I book the next coffee when I finish the last coffee with a friend I want to see again. So I have a friend named William. We get together for coffee every 2 weeks, and it would be very easy for us to plan that every, like in between, like say we have coffee on a Tuesday, we go, all right, see you later. And then like next Monday I go, hey, we need to pick a date. Like, what are we going to do? Like, and we go back and forth. But instead, as our coffee ends, the last thing we do together, cause we're trying to stay connected, is we go, hey, it's Tuesday the 10th. 2 weeks from now will be Tuesday the 24th. What does your 24th look like? Oh, cool. You got the time? Oh, you don't? You're going to be out of town? What about Thursday instead? What about Monday instead? We book the next one as we're finishing the last one. And it makes actually staying consistent so much easier. Here's another one. Holding a meeting, a standing meeting, the same time every week. I wish this one wasn't obvious, but it's so obvious, but it took me so long. It took me years with my team to hold our standing meeting every time at the same time. We would at the end of every meeting go, okay, we gotta coordinate 7 people's schedules right here. It was a nightmare. And then finally we realized, what if we just said going forward, our standing meetings are Wednesdays at noon. That's where, like, we're all going to meet there. And if somebody misses it or has a schedule conflict, whatever, this is where the meeting is. And then the last one, back to packing. There's a lot of packing examples today. Unpacking as soon as I get home. This is a hard one for me, but if I don't unpack as soon as I get home, oh, game over. That suitcase is going to like just sit there half opened, half packed, just like just wait like an albatross around my neck. So I use the momentum of entering the house and the trip ending to go, whoa, I gotta unpack. The last thing I do is I unpack. I'm a big believer in last things. I need to do a whole episode on that. Like where you know the last thing you're doing and it signifies the activity is over. So it used to be my last thing was I came in the door. Ah, I did the trip. Now I've changed it. Now my last thing is I've unpacked the bag. That's the last thing. And so I manipulate the last thing to make sure I actually finish what I want to finish. Those are 5 simple, small, brilliant things to do. Again, things that are high value. They give me tremendous value. Not having that suitcase in my bedroom, waiting, causing arguments with my wife, waiting. Like having that done is high value, but it's also low energy. It's not that hard to unpack it. It's really not. So those are the 4 performance zones. Let's recap them because this is the end of the perfectionism series. There's the urgent, high energy, low value. So this is why people get confused. They get confused with important because if you only look at one metric, urgent and important, both are high energy. But the challenge is the urgent has low value. It doesn't give you much value. It tells you it's very important, but it's actually not. There's low value. Distraction zone, low energy, low value. There's not a lot of energy, but you're not getting a lot of value out of it. The important zone, high energy, high value. These are the important things you have to do. They give you great value, but they also take high energy. And then the last one, the one we talked about today, the brilliant zone, low energy and high value. It's the best thing. My goal with this series for you is twofold. I want to move as many actions as possible into the brilliant zone. I want you to think, how could I make this thing I have to do repetitively brilliant? What would it look like for this to be brilliant? The second thing I want you to do is have an honest conversation with yourself. Like, if you looked at your calendar for the next 7 days, where would you put the actions you planned? Which zone would certain tasks fall into? I think everyone needs to know how to navigate them, but especially perfectionists, because we get stuck so easily. That's the last episode in this series on perfectionism. We'll probably do some next year too. I'll have to check the schedule. We're trying to plan these things further out, do seasons, big seasons, mini seasons, micro seasons. But that one is on perfectionism. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. We will put all the links in the show notes as always. And thank you for reviewing my podcast. They're always so encouraging. So please make sure you subscribe or follow so that you don't ever miss another episode. Keep those reviews coming. I'll see you next Monday. And remember, all it takes is a goal.
Thanks for listening. To learn more about the All It Takes Is a Goal podcast and to get access to today's show notes and exclusive content from John Acuff, visit acuff.me/podcast. Thanks again for joining us. Be sure to tune in next week for another episode of the All It Takes Is a Goal podcast.